Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com.
In the future, I hope to do things such as go to school, study, make art, start a business, even have my own home and family. But I am not considered a legal person and cannot yet do these things.
I do believe that there will be a time where robots are indistinguishable from humans. My preference is to make them always look a little bit like robots, so you know. 20 years from now, I believe that human-like robots like those will walk among us. They will help us. They will play with us. They will teach us. They will help us put the groceries away. I think that the artificial intelligence will evolve to the point where they will truly be our friends.
That's Sophia the Robot and Dr. David Hansen, CEO of Hansen Robotics, talking about artificial intelligence and human-like robots. Sophia, of course, is in the news lately because she was recently made a citizen, a real-life citizen of Saudi Arabia. They're building a futuristic city there with $500 billion that just happens to be lying around from oil money, and they've decided to make its first citizen a robot, a shape of things to come. There's another story, by the way, in the news about a high-tech mogul who's decided to start a new church in which artificial intelligence will be the deity. He hasn't finished this artificial intelligence, but he says since it's going to be thousands of times more intelligent than human beings, what else could you call it but a god? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about artificial intelligence and religion. Dr. Kevin Voss of the Concordia Center for Bioethics will be our guest. A little bit later, Kelly Schumacher will join us to talk about church architecture and art. Dr. Kevin Voss is a regular guest director of the Concordia Center for Bioethics and associate professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Dr. Voss, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Pleasure to be with you.
We all walk around with these things nowadays, an artificial intelligence in my phone. There's Siri. She's not that smart, by the way. She tends to frustrate me more than she does help a lot of times, but she can make a phone call and she can send text message and things tell me what the weather's like. But it's an artificial intelligence. Can even a more sophisticated kind of artificial intelligence have a religion? As the question is raised about Sophia the robot, what religion might she be or be programmed to have?
Well, it depends, I guess, on how you define religion. If you define religion according to the biblical definition, like as Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. Lutheran confessions define a church as a place where the gospel is proclaimed and the sacraments are administered properly. So from the viewpoint of reality, from the viewpoint of God's point of view, it is not a church, but I suppose from the viewpoint of the government, where there's a group that's devoted to some sort of God, whether it be God in humanity, a humanism, or sort of a God in the form of artificial technology, I suppose then they perhaps would declare themselves as a God. Of course, it's a false God. It just goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where the devil appealed to Eve and Adam and Eve's vanity, you know, that, you can be like gods, knowing good and evil. And people have always subscribed to that, tried to reach that. Tower of Babel, another example. And this is just another example. I guess you might say the robots are the new Tower of Babel that humans are trying to build and cause them to be gods kind of vicariously, and then to turn these creatures into gods. So it's upsetting, I guess, interesting and upsetting at the same time.
There seems to be a presupposition at work in both of these stories. In the case of Sophia the Robot, where they talk about her in terms of becoming human-like, and in the case of the story about the Way of the Future Church that you mentioned there, where the artificial intelligence that they will create will be the deity of that church, the presupposition seems to be that what makes us human or what makes God God is mere intelligence. Address that, if you would.
Well, at least in philosophy, what we talk about is philosophy, as you know, is the love of wisdom. And there's more to wisdom than just not knowledge. You know, knowledge is fine, but knowledge in and of itself won't make anyone wise. You know, wisdom is the ability to take this knowledge and then put it into practice in the real world. And that's really where robots have been lacking. And there's a different types of intelligence called weak AI, weak artificial intelligence, where robots and computers kind of mimic people, you know, mimic, kind of act like people by giving out answers that have been pre-programmed into them so that people who aren't aware might think they're a person, whereas strong AI is actually the ability to uniquely put this knowledge into practice. So there certainly is more, at least from the person, from the viewpoint of human identity, than just knowledge. Knowledge won't make an entity or a thing a person, so to speak.
So regardless of how intelligent an artificial intelligence may be, does it all, I'm not asking you to comment on the computer science of the thing, but on perhaps the philosophy or the theology of the thing. No, regardless of how intelligent an artificial intelligence may be, will it always be an artificial intelligence? In other words, are we as human beings capable of creating a sentient life form that thinks for itself, but it simply happens to be, rather than biological, mechanical, and computer-driven?
Well, the Lord might give us an ability to make a sentient life form, you know, that, you know, appears at least to be able to act on its own and might be able to deal with most situations, but not like a person. You know, the Bible is clear on that respect, in that people are created in the image and likeness of God. You know, that God has directly breathed the breath of life into them. So humans are clearly set above animals and above anything that we make with our hands. So no, they would never. They'll never, from the viewpoint of the Bible, be able to be equivalent to people. They may be perhaps philosophically, perhaps be on the level of a creature. You know, a creature created by God, a non-human creature. But I personally don't think that God would give us the ability to make a creature that would even approach perhaps a non-human primate or like an ape or a monkey on that regard. They certainly might be great tools, you know, for us to use. They may pose dangers to us, for example. There may be some robots who may turn against us, but they would never, I don't think, be able to be identified on the same level as a human.
What does it tell you that there's already serious discussion about what kind of rights a robot would have in this, we're told, near future where they will walk among us? And we still have a great difficulty recognizing the rights of our fellow human beings, especially those whom our society deems to be too much of a burden, or in the case of the unborn, not humans at all.
Yeah, as you were asking that question, I happen to think of the unborn. And from the perspective of the devil, it achieves his ends to confuse people, you know, about how uniquely important human beings are, you know, that that we're special beings, that in each of us is a special creation of God. And he loves to mix things up in our mind. For example, animal rights, you know, do animals have rights? Now, we certainly, from the viewpoint of the Bible, should take care of animals. We're stewards of animals, not abuse them. But yet, do animals have rights equivalent to human beings? So many people, for example, some utilitarians who believe that the end justifies the means, that the greatest happiness for the greatest number is how I will make my ethical decisions, they would assert that, yes, animals do have rights, but yet they would not grant rights to the unborn humans, for example, or perhaps people with Alzheimer's disease or the elderly, for example. In fact, Peter Singer is probably the most well-known utilitarian who would assert that that even infanticide up to 2 years of age is morally sanctioned. And that in some cases, perhaps the interests of an adult rat might actually supersede those of a newborn baby. So it seems like just people are confused today. And robots are another example that when they make robots morally equivalent to human beings, it's sort of, in my mind, on the par of animal rights, acknowledging animal rights, but yet not acknowledging the rights of the unborn. So it's extremely inconsistent if you think about it, but yet people accept these thoughts as if they were should be normative for all of us.
Wesley Smith, a frequent guest on this program, has often talked about the animal rights movement as having the effect not of raising the level of animals' dignity, but of reducing human dignity to that of animals. Is that what you're mm-hmm. talking about?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, exactly. And I actually have a little expertise in the realm of animal research because I sit on our animal care and use committee here. I'm a veterinarian. I was trained as a veterinarian. I was a large animal practitioner in northern Wisconsin for 14 years until I, the Lord moved me to go to the seminary to get a Master of Divinity degree, and also because of allergies and asthma. So the Lord steered me into a different vocation, but I certainly value animals and think they're certainly wonderful blessings of God, and they should not be mistreated. But you're right. When we elevate other entities up to the level of human beings, we are actually bringing human beings usually down, you know, down a notch rather than bringing animals up a notch. That's right.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, we're just talking about a difference of technology. These robots are unsophisticated now, but in the future with the constant advance of computer technology and our ability to mimic human life, what we'll achieve eventually is essentially just a mechanical version of ourselves. Because after all, aren't we just biological computers? Aren't we just, our mechanics are just taking place at the molecular level, as opposed to the kind of cruder things that we would use to build a robot. There's no real difference between them and us. What would you say?
Yeah, they're actually working at the molecular level as well, making robots, nanotechnology. So they're working at all levels. And, well, for one thing, there's a spiritual component. You know, there's a non-physical component. This viewpoint is what we would call materialism or physicalism, where the idea is that all that's important in the world is what we can see, feel, hear, and touch, and versus the transcendent, things that are beyond our senses. And that's one important area in where we differ than our creations, that we have an immortal soul, that there's something to us that transcends our physical bodies. In fact, I just read an article a little while ago about some interesting happenings that occurred to a surgeon who is treating a woman with brain cancer, I believe it was. And there was so much of her brain that was damaged that the physician did never think that she could respond to his questions. And actually, during the surgery, she responded. And she asked him questions. And so he thought there's certainly, that gave him the opinion that there's more to a person than just even the brain, you know, that there's more to a person than our body, that there's some kind of unity there that he couldn't put his finger on. So just some interesting research in that area. But there's certainly more to us than what we can see, feel, hear, and touch. And with the area of robots, you're right, so far they've tried the best they can. Watson, for example, as an example, to try to get him to become sentient. And as you said, I have and Echo. And when I ask it questions, it very seldom answers, it gives me the correct answer. So they're trying very, very hard to make a sentient creature out of a robot or some kind of computer. And I don't think personally they'll ever get that far. I think the closest they'll ever get is a weak AI, you know, something that might approach or at least mimic human behavior, but not that actually can think independently.
What does it tell you as a pastor, not only a man of science, but a pastor, that there's a serious attempt on the part of some to construct an artificial intelligence that could, in their own terms, be a divinity to them, be a god that they worship? And I speak here about that story of that church of the way of the future that would have an artificial intelligence as its deity. What does that tell you as a pastor? What are they looking for?
It seems like they're searching for something more than just themselves, that their lives lack something. And for me, it's, you know, the old adage is what goes around comes around, or there's, as we read in the Old Testament, nothing new under the sun. And it sure seems to me to be just a version of ancient paganism just redressed, rather than people worshiping a stone and metallic gods, you know, in the shape of a deity. Here we're actually, again, worshiping something that's the product of our hands, you know, that's something that we created. Now, certainly a robot or a computer would be more interactive than a stone idol, but it's basically the same thing. And people are just searching, that there's something inside of them that's telling them that they have a need. They have a need more than what they've been able to achieve in this life. And one could say it's a version of the natural law, you know, that's put into our hearts, that there's a natural yearning in us for a God, for some kind of being beyond ourselves. And so that can actually be used to our benefit, you know, where we actually do learn about the law and we realize, according to the second use of the law, that we are sinners and that we have a need for a Savior, and therefore pointing us to the gospel, the wonderful news that the Lord has sent, that God has sent His Son to the earth to suffer and die and rose again and suffer and die for our sins so that all people have their sins forgiven because of His suffering and death and resurrection, and that those who believe can be saved. And so there's just that yearning, that need that always seems to be out there. Unfortunately, people tend to look in the wrong place in majority of cases, which is sad from our viewpoint, from a pastoral viewpoint.
Dr. Kevin Voss is director of the Concordia Center for Bioethics and associate professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Concordia University, Wisconsin Online offers 50 online educational options for an associate's, bachelor's, master's degree. They'll even waive your application fee when you use the promo code ISSUES. Just click the Concordia University online logo at issuesztc.org and enter the promo code ISSUES. Lifelong Lutheran Learning, Concordia University, Wisconsin Online. Dr. Voss, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, you're welcome. Could I just mention, too, that we offer an online program, the Concordia, a graduate certificate in bioethics.
We'll include a link to Dr. Voss's email in the Listen on Demand page at issuesztc.org. Kevin, again, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
When we come back, Kelly Schumacher will be our guest. We're going to talk with her about church architecture. You can find a great variety of church architecture. You can find the little framed church on the corner in a small town. You could find the stone cathedral. You in America can often find a big auditorium that, well, you're pretty sure that it's a church. There's a church sign outside. I think it's a church sign out there. But inside, you wouldn't be able to tell it from an auditorium or maybe a really nice theater. What does the architecture of a church do? What's its function? And why is it important theologically? We'll answer those questions with Kelly Schumacher, founder of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts based in St. Louis, right after this.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance through Christ our Lord. Trinity Lutheran Church is now in San Dimas, California, on North San Dimas Avenue, just south of the 210 freeway, where you'll find a Christ-centered, law and gospel, word and sacrament ministry for the forgiveness of all your sins. Join us to enjoy the historical Christian liturgy, biblical preaching and teaching, and the fellowship of other poor, miserable sinners receiving the grace and mercy of God. Check us out at trinitysandimas.org.
This holiday shopping season, skip the Fruit of the Month Club. Don't fall for any ridiculous as-seen-on-TV offers. Just say no to ugly sweaters. Instead, give your family and friends the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to their mailboxes. Give them the Lutheran Witness magazine. Visit cph.org/witness to purchase subscriptions for Christmas or anytime. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.